Bring your greetings again this evening in the very precious name of Jesus. Appreciate our brother's devotional thoughts this evening. I mentioned last evening that for a pre-sermon talk, I'm going to talk about respect for authority. One of the challenges that we face today in our society, we face today and maybe even in the church, is respect for authority. Whenever we have a time when we have politicians who don't even respect each other. But we're taught by God tonight the lines of authority. Since 1960, late 50s and 60s, you had the Beatle movement, you had the hippie movement, music that was pushing rebellion in society. In the late 60s and the early 70s, you had the gospel rock moving in. Music that pushed rebellion among young people. Tonight, I'd like for us to think, and I'm not going to talk about music tonight. When you find a young man that is facing a lot of struggle with authority, look at his music interests. And you might be surprised. But I'd like us to think about and consider what the Bible teaches us about respect for authority. We should be demonstrating the respect for authority that Christ teaches in His Word. And I believe that we need to demonstrate a clear and distinct attitude towards authority that speaks to our society around us. God has established the positions of authority. Yeah, the family unit. Go to Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 23, where he gives clear direction. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Then he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So you have the authority of the home, husbands and wives. You have in Ephesians chapter 6, right into the next chapter, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Children, you are instructed to obey your parents. Young people, you are instructed to obey your parents. Maybe we could say it like this, that obedience is while your feet are under their table. But honor and respect is for life. We have the authority of the church. Peter talks to the elders in 1 Peter 5:5. About being subject. "Likewise, ye younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Be submissive one to another," Peter teaches there. Timothy talks about a woman not teaching or instructing men, but she is to meekly take her place. And I'm not here to talk about the home tonight. We're going to do that tomorrow morning. You have the authority of civil government, and we are commanded to obey them as long as it does not contradict the word of God. A wife is commanded to respect her husband and reverence him as long as it does not contradict the word of God. You have the employers and employee relationships. We are commanded to obey those in authority. You have school teachers and students. Students are expected to be obedient at school, and if they're not, I trust that you have the support of the parents to help that happen. But just looking very briefly at the principles relating to authority. Number one, the principle is that we must obey God rather than man. When authority tries to compel us to disobey God. I know we face that challenge in the COVID situation after a length of time. When do we take the scripture not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? I think we were out of gathering together for about 9 weeks. And May 17th, we went back to a worship service, somewhat in a limited way, sitting as families, but soon we were back to our normal fellowship. Now, this does not sanction disobedience to change the policies of authority either. Romans 13 is very clear that we must obey them that have the rule over us in civil government. Secondly, we need to value those in authority as being ordained of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13, we're right close there. I'm going to turn to that. First Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. And to esteem them very highly, to love in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Fathers, tonight you cannot expect your children to respect authority when you do not respect the authority yourself. It doesn't work. Paul and Onesimus in Philippians 10:14, where Paul doesn't say set him free, nor don't go back to Philemon, but he is teaching him to accept him as his fellow Christian. We don't obey our respect authority because those over us are better and smarter and wiser than we are, but because we are commanded by God to obey them and to respect them. How is your respect to the police officer on the highway? Fathers, you cannot expect your children to do any better than what you are doing. How do you talk about the authority of church at home? We need to respect, even when we do not feel they deserve our respect. The example of David and Saul. Saul was not doing right. He did not have the Lord's Spirit within him. But you know, dear friends, tonight, David respected Saul. He had the opportunity to take his life and get rid of him. So we read tonight, respect authority. Follow the scriptures. Take it seriously. When on the highway, including things like the seatbelt law, we ought to respect those things. They are not contrary to scripture. I know when the seatbelt law came out, there were some very strong feelings that they can't expect to have their family strapped in. It's law. And it doesn't contradict the scripture. So it needs to be done. I want you to turn to 703. I told you tonight we're going to talk about God's standard of purity. And I want you to turn to 703 and ask our song leader to lead us in that, to start that song. You always sing that. In heart, O God, help me to be. Make my soul holy to thee.
Heart, O God, help me to be.
God's standard of purity is held very high, but yet we can attain to that by the grace of God. I want you to go first of all to Psalms 24. I want to read a few verses there in the outstart of the message tonight, and then we'll go back to the 1 Thessalonians. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." God is looking for pure hearts tonight. He is looking for hearts that are pure and clean. And only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ can that be accomplished. God's standard of purity. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 now. And we're going to be looking at a few verses there and then coming back to Psalms 119. As Americans, we care a lot about purity. We get our water tested, and we like to have pure water to drink. Pure water for the animals. But how much are you concerned about your soul tonight? How much are you concerned about your purity of your heart? How much are you concerned about feeding on the right kind of things so that you can have a pure heart? Remember tonight, if you forget everything else I said, the eye and the ear are the gateway to your mind, and that's where it all begins. So what you're going to feed yourself is what your heart is going to be. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Now go down to verse 7. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." He's looking for pure hearts tonight. Hearts that are listening to the right thing. Hearts that are looking at the right thing. And that's the way we'll keep a pure heart. As we look at these verses, we must ask ourselves on this: can this even be done in our world today? When we look at the way the world is going and all of the things that society is there to look at, including of all the undress in society, do we have power? Do we have the power of God within us? Or are we feeding on the wrong thing? "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness." We better hope that we are feeding our minds with the right thing through the ears and through the eyes. Because what you look at, what you think about, is who you're going to really be. What's on your mind, what's in your heart, the way you think, is who you really are tonight. The answer to living in this world is not imitation. I want you to get this very carefully. Just be like everybody else. And the answer isn't isolation. Don't have any association with the world. But it is insulation tonight. Insulating yourself with God. With the things of God. It is possible tonight to live and to have a clean heart by the power of Jesus Christ in your life. If you're struggling tonight with feeding your mind and your ears, feeding your mind through your ears and your eyes with the wrong thing, just remember, maybe no one else can see it tonight. And maybe no one else sees where you go on the internet. Maybe no one else sees where you, the things you look at during the day, the things you listen to, the music you listen to. But you'll never fool God. You can lie to your accountability meetings. You can lie to your accountability people. If you know enough about technology, you can race where you go. It'll work till you come to the judgment day. So remember that answer. It means it is insulation. God can keep us in a polluted world. He can keep our life, our mind, and our hearts pure tonight. Yes, He can. The power is there. And when we're tempted, He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. He is all powerful. And He will see us through. Remember, He has the power to save you, but I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, He has the power to keep you saved. Yes, He does. He has the power to keep you saved. Now I want you to go to Psalms 119. Very familiar verses. In Psalms 119, beginning at verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. It gives us the answer there. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. By taking heed. Do you take heed tonight? Do you take heed as you read the scriptures and listen to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? And I believe that we have to resolve this issue in our mind before anything else can happen in our life. We have to resolve this issue in our minds. Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not eat of the king's meat. What is the purpose of your heart tonight? That you're not going to be looking at things you shouldn't look at on the internet. You're not going to be going places where you shouldn't go. Purpose in your heart to do what is right. To look at those things that are right. To look at the Word of God. When you're tempted, pray. Go to the Word of God and find victory in Jesus. It can be done. What's going to be the standard of my authority? It's finally a question you have to answer tonight. On what am I going to base my life? It's your choice tonight. Young people, parents, older people, the devil never lets you alone. He will tempt you as long as you are alive on this earth, let me tell you. So don't ever think when you get to 60 and 70 years old that the temptations are lessened, because they're not. I'm here to testify of that tonight. Am I going to make a commitment to God's word as my standard for life, or am I just going to make up my own standard? It's your choice. It's my choice tonight. Does God know more about my life, or do I know more about my life than God does? We know the answer to that, whether we want to admit it or not. But that's the issue that we need to resolve in our minds. God has created us, and He understands us. He's been tempted in all points like as we were, and yet without sin, Jesus Christ Himself. God says several things in His Word that aren't very popular today in society. About immorality and things like that. Things that were never accepted in society are now accepted as the norm. You know what I'm talking about. When you have the same gender marriages and you have the transgender accepted thing in the world today. You have the many things that have been considered abnormal and out of the picture are now accepted as the normal. And I believe we're living in the last of the end times, as it was in the days of Noah. God understands the limitations far better than we do. And we have to decide tonight what's going to be our standard. We have to decide every day, every morning when we get up, what's going to be my standard for the day. Is our standard going to be the Word of God? Am I going to be subject to authority? Even when I don't understand it, and when I don't like it, when the flesh doesn't like it, we need to resolve in our minds every morning that I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me to do. Sometimes God tells us that through a brother in the church. Can I accept that? Even if it doesn't make sense to me, can I accept that? Even when you think that Father doesn't make sense, young men, tonight, can you accept that? I'm going to make a commitment to do what God says in His Word. Until we're willing to make that kind of commitment, we're not ready to be pure in an impure world tonight. Wickedness is on every hand. We can only be pure tonight by following the standard of God's Word. In order to do that, number two, we have to manage our minds. I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. I want to read a few verses there. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart pure, because out of it are the issues of life. In verse 19 in chapter 23. Verse 19 of chapter 23 reads like this: Hear thou, my son, be wise and guide thine heart in the way. Every temptation that comes to your mind, and you need to decide what to do with it. You're going to need to decide. You're going to go to the Word of God and you're going to pray. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting there. Temptations will come. You will be tempted. I will be tempted. And every temptation begins in the mind. And so you need to be careful what comes through those ears and what comes through those eyes. That's going to fill your mind. Because every temptation starts there. And that is so clear. An open mind tends to get filled with something. Either you're going to fill it with the right kind of thing. You are born into this world with an empty mind. And your parents will feed you with the right appetite as you start to think as a child. And they read those Bible stories to you. But finally there'll come a time when you're going to need to know where you stand. And you're going to need to decide what you're going to accept into your mind. So as we think of the mind and managing our mind, because your mind and your head is the control center of your whole body. And so if every temptation starts at the mind, an open mind is going to be filled with something. And if you make no effort to fill it with the right kind of thing, it will get filled with garbage. Satan will see to that. He is watching for empty minds. He's watching for individuals that are careless in their thought life to inject those thoughts into them. We need to watch what we think about. What you read and what you look at. Where do your eyes go in our society today? Jesus tells us in the New Testament, it has been said, but I say unto you, that what you really think is who you really are. And that he that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. So in the New Testament, we become a bit more, it becomes more serious. Because now it is what you think about. And you can be committing the sin. We need to walk by the Spirit. Guard what goes in through the eye gate. Guard your thought life. Parents tonight, do you know what's on the bookshelves of your teenagers? Do you know what music is in their cars? And I'm not here to talk about music, it's a subject in itself. In their vehicles. What kind of music are they listening to? Be careful where you go. You know, wrong thoughts always precede wrong action. The wrong kind of thinking will always precede the wrong kind of actions. And never think tonight that your wrong thoughts will never be producing actions. It will. You will be producing actions. This is God's LSD. Lust, sin, and death is where it will finally end up. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us to flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I believe that this calls sometimes for a literal fleeing. You're in an area where you are facing a strong temptation. You need to leave. Maybe a man that once drank needs to go a longer way out around to go somewhere. So he stays away from the bar. Maybe you need to literally flee sometimes when there's wrong kind of things in front of you. That will produce wrong thinking. Joseph stands as a great example of one who literally fled. She was left holding his coat. Potiphar, look here. Look what he tried to do to me. It cost him prison. We may be wrongly accused of some things in our world today. Are we willing to stand? Be careful where we go. Resist those things that are evil. Realize who I am in Christ. And appropriate his grace and power daily. Resolve to stand firm in the battle. With God, we can do that. Thirdly, we need to monitor how much we really feed on the media today, on the intake that we take from the media and the news. Sometimes it can almost frustrate you when you look at the news, when you see what's on the news, and you sometimes we just need to look. I'm not saying we need to be ignorant. I'm not saying that. I must say that I do like to know where things are politically, as I see the deterioration in the world today. But that shouldn't be our goal. And we need to be careful that's not taking us in the wrong direction. Proverbs 15:14, where he says this. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. We don't just indiscriminately allow garbage into our minds through books, through magazines. Fathers, tonight, do you guard the magazines that come into your home? Growing children may get a hold of them before you do. And I believe tonight that that is one of the areas in our homes that we need to be on guard. Along with knowing what's there in the music interests and knowing what's there in the what's happening on the cell phones. I encourage family programs where teenagers begin with a limited amount of data on their phone. And you may say, well, this, I'm just pretty old and I'm pretty old-fashioned, but these young people and these little small children know more about cell phones than sometimes us adults do. And I'd say, parents tonight, be on guard. Be on guard till they can be trusted with them. I lived in the day when there was no cell phones, and if you needed a phone, you walked however far you had to walk to get a payphone if you broke down somewhere. Today we have technology at our fingertips that is rather dangerous. I also encourage homes with cell phones to put them down at mealtime, to also put them down and not allow them to go to the bedrooms. Now, that sounds pretty strict, I know. So if you're not doing that, that's okay, but I would encourage that. I know families back home that are doing that, and I respect them very highly for that. And if I can't get a hold of them and it's mealtime, I respect them for that. We can always talk later, especially when it's in the ministerial team. Can we live healthy on a diet of Mountain Dew? Can we live healthy on a diet of nothing but Coke and a lot of fast food restaurant stuff? No, we know the answer to that. If that's what we ate every day, then we need to get concerned about our spiritual diet. We need to be greatly concerned about our spiritual diet. The same is true about a lot of things in this world, but we need to have a spiritual diet that is building us up spiritually. David says in Psalms 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He purposed in his heart. Yes, did David have failures? Yes, he did. But God, he was a man after God's own heart. Are you an individual tonight who is after the who is a person after God's own heart? Fourthly, I want to talk about minimizing the opportunities for temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Recognize tonight that it's been said this way once, that when you think you're standing, you're already starting to fall. That we are no match for the enemy that's out there. We're no match for the devil. We need to recognize the temptations that come as coming from Satan himself. In fact, the longer you're of a believer, the more Satan is going to try to throw you off course. And I am convinced, as I've talked to various individuals before they passed away, that the devil is busy in the last moments of time. And I remember the passing of one older lady. She questioned, did she really do what she could have done for the Lord? I can understand why questions like that would come. And the older that I get as well, I can understand why Satan would come and some of the temptations that individuals have before they pass away. Satan is yet trying to overthrow them in their last time of their life. Given the right circumstances, anyone is capable of anything. And that includes me tonight. That includes you. Maybe a day you missed your devotions. I cannot think of starting a day without talking with God, without reading His Word and having something to think about. It's so important in this evil world in which we live. So don't allow your pride to get in the way and cause you to fall, because we are all capable of falling. Every one of us is capable of falling. And we look at individuals sometimes who fall short and who yielded to temptation, and we think, why did you do that? But you know, we need to recognize that maybe we're not tempted in that area, but we might be tempted in other areas. As we think of minimizing the opportunity for temptation, we need to recognize what tempts us, but I think we also need to recognize, number two, what kind of friends do you have? What kind of people do you like to associate with tonight? Choose your friends carefully. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Parents tonight, learn to know your children's friends as your teenagers grow up. Learn to know who they're associating with. Learn to know the young man that may have interest in your daughter, or vice versa. I remember my father-in-law. My wife and I were courting at that time. They would come home from church, and we were already home. Her father would come in and sit down, and we'd have a short visit. Many times that happened. I look back on that with fond memories. He built a relationship there. Parents tonight, learn to know who has an interest in your children, in your teenagers. Because it's so much easier. Learn to know who your children's friends are, because it's so much easier to be pulled down than it is to pull someone up. Be aware of what their interests are. Be aware of where they are with their music interests and their attitudes toward authority. So we need to be careful about who we choose to spend time around, because we become like those we are with. Thirdly, as we think about minimizing the opportunity of temptation, we need to establish protective guidelines. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, the fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Not once. Not once. Show an interest in your children and who they relate to. Parents, I trust that you too will be on guard. What you expose your family to in your relationships. It makes sense to establish some protective guidelines to avoid temptations in these areas. Maintain a Christian marriage. And I don't want to say a lot about this here tonight, but I'm going to share a few things. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife of whom thou lovest, all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. A growing relationship between spouses. A growing relationship with one spouse. The one you have chosen for life. God wants us to enjoy a marriage relationship. Yes, he does. Not just endure them. You know, there's too many homes, and maybe in the Mennonite church, that coexist together. There's too many homes in the Mennonite church that probably are divorced at heart. I say that carefully. I've seen it happen many times where in counseling, you try to evaluate and you realize that there's a great distance between the two who are married together and coexisting together. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. As we think sometimes, as man thinks,
But we need to water the grass on our side of the fence, and that will be green as well.
Maintain your marriage. Dear ones tonight, mothers and fathers, marriage should grow deeper and deeper. Marriage should grow better and better.
Wife and I are married over 45 years, going on 46. And were there stresses in earlier years of life? Yes, there were stresses. The stress of family life, the stress of business life. But through it all, I believe that we have grown.
So have you been putting forth the effort that it takes to maintain your marriage relationship? We'll leave it at that as far as the marriage relationship tonight. But I believe that as we consider temptations and the yielding to temptation, we must magnify the consequences of sin. We must think about the far-reaching effects by yielding to sin that it will have on ourselves and on our children and on the church. Proverbs 6:32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteresses will hunt for the precious life. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. They will not have a part in the kingdom of heaven. Our society lifts up a moral impurity as acceptable and even normal behavior. We talked about that a little bit before, but God tells us that it will destroy lives. It will destroy lives. Hollywood glamorizes it, but rarely shows the impact it has upon the lives of people and the hurts that are there because of it. You see advertisements of drink, and you see advertisements of smoking. They don't show you the other end of it. God wants to spare us this pain, and he wants us to consider the far-reaching effects and the consequences of sin tonight. His standard, God's standard, has never changed. It has never changed. So what is the path back to purity? We talked about it last night. Repentance is the only way back. Repentance means changed. A changed behavior, a changed heart. It means I change directions. David did this in the psalm that we looked at last night, in Psalm 51. And he received forgiveness. May God help us tonight as we think about the consequences of sin. And I want to very briefly yet look at what is moral freedom tonight. I want to share just a few points. Moral freedom is not the right to do what you want. It is the strength to do what is right and what is taught in the Word of God. Moral freedom is not the absence of restraint, but rather it is the resolve to honor God's design of purity and holiness. Moral freedom is liberty that comes from knowing the truth of God's Word tonight and living in harmony with that truth by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that God has promised every believer. Moral freedom tonight stems from genuine love, which is the opposite of love. Both four-letter words. Genuine love gives to others without the motive of personal pleasure or gain. Lust takes from others with the selfish motive of personal pleasure or gain. You see the difference? Walk in the Spirit. Genuine love tonight is not the natural heart or the human heart. It's the heart that has been transformed by the power of Jesus tonight. When you receive the gift of salvation that God offers to everyone, when you receive the gift of salvation
that God offers, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you will become a servant of righteousness by the power of Jesus Christ. How does a person yield to sin? Yes, experiences a sinful, unholy desire. But tonight, how does a person yield to God? By moving by the promptings of the Spirit of God in your life and heart, and you respond to that, you will receive power to live victoriously. Tonight, how has it been with you? Have you been living a life of purity? Have you been living to God's standard? Or have you been failing? Maybe you've been looking at things on the internet that no one else knows about. Maybe you've been feeding on the wrong kind of books that no one else knows about. Tonight is your opportunity to accept the invitation that God has. To accept deliverance from that. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are tonight. If there's any of that sin in your life, I urge you to heed to the Spirit of God and to accept His presence tonight. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord, and you know that you're doing things that are contrary to the Scriptures, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. This invitation tonight will be for you to accept the Lord Jesus. And as we sing that invitation hymn tonight, we'll ask you to stand to your feet, to be recognized, and someone will help you find that deep, settled peace that God has to offer tonight. What will the invitation be?
733.
733.